This episode of 30 Minutes or Less will contain spoilers for both the original Pride and Prejudice and one of its film remakes, Pride and Prejudice, as well as major spoilers for the Netflix teen comedy, Never Have I Ever.
30 Minutes or Less.
We talk about movies.
Hello and welcome to another episode of 30 Minutes or Less. This week we have a returning guest. Hello, Michaela. How are you?
Hello, I'm excellent. Yatty. How are
you? You've been on the podcast before, hey, haven't you? What was that for? I barely remember it now. It's been a while.
Yeah, it was a bit of a fever dream. I may have blacked it out a bit. I do believe we were talking about Shrek 2 and ended up talking about Bachelor, right? For like a very long time.
That's right. We were meant to do Shrek 2 as the bulk of it. Then we talked a little bit about Shrek 1, 2, 3, 4. Is that how many Shreks there are? There's a few.
Yeah. And then there's like Shrek the Holes and et cetera, et cetera. Sorry.
Of course.
With Booth 1 and 2. Yeah.
And then we segue to The Bachelor. What are we talking about today? Because it's a bit of a left turn from there. We're not talking about anything to do with Shrek, which is, I'm surprised actually. I thought you'd be all about Shrek again.
You know what? And it's not even a children's movie. You know, the people thought we'd be talking about Ratatouille. people are wrong. Mm. We are talking today about Pride and Prejudice, the 2004 classic.
I love Pride and Prejudice. And I've never watched Pride and Prejudice, which is what it's based off, like the book as well. Who wrote that book, by the way? Is it Jane Austen that wrote that
Jane
book?
Austen.
Is it Jane Austen? I don't read. See, that's the thing. That's my problem. I don't read.
I can't read.
No. Well, okay. We'll settle down. We'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, we're talking about Pride and Prejudice as well as Never Have I Ever, great Netflix TV show that's on right now. I wasn't going to watch it, Michaela. I was not going to watch Never Have I Ever.
I'm surprised. I was really surprised when you sent me your first reaction to like the first 30 seconds of the show. I was like, oh, he's actually watching it?
I'm the kind of person that I'm not a really big fan of those teenage dramas on whatever platform they're on, whether it's Netflix, Stan. I'm not into learning about like teenagers learning about themselves and getting to know like their crushes and stuff, because it's the same thing over and over again. That's my whole issue with that. But no, I really, really genuinely enjoyed it. Mostly, I think it was because I can see myself in the main character, Devi, in terms of she's another brown person on screen, which is not the most common sight that you see, to be completely fair.
Yeah, it was like super basic. Like the only thing you have in common with her is that brown. Like she's in the US, like completely different.
Look, I'm going to take what I can get, okay? It's slim pickings nowadays.
How sad is it is that that is like the most relatable thing for us, that it's like there's hardly any things in common there.
You got to start somewhere though. I mean, you and I have the one thing I think, I guess we could say we have in common is we're both South Asian, like we have South Asian descent. You're half Indian, I'm Sri Lankan, and I guess we're both whitewashed, for a lack of a better term.
Coconut. The politically correct term.
What does that mean again for those who don't know, for all the people that don't know what a coconut is?
Brown on the outside, white on the inside.
Exactly. I love that. We're both coconuts. But growing up, I think we both have similar experiences, but obviously not the same. So I will be getting into if you relate with Devi in terms of Never Have I Ever, and the same thing with Pride and Prejudice, and a couple other movies that sort of have that kind of vibe to it, whether it's like an Indian American or an Indian person in a Western culture, which isn't the most common genre ever.
No. Well, you know, Bollywood is like massive, but
Bollywood's its own thing though. It's
Western. I can't relate
to anything in Bollywood. I don't know if you can, to be honest.
I think Pride and Prejudice is the most Bollywood movie I've ever seen.
before we get into Pride and Prejudice, Never Ever Ever, what have you been watching, Michaela, nowadays since you're in isolation like the rest of us?
So yesterday I binge watched Never Have I Ever, so that would be why we're talking about that, but we'll save that for a bit. Gilmore Girls, which is the same as last time I was on the show. Like literally I finished that show and then I just start watching it again. Mm. And like I'll watch other things in between. I just like, it's a good show to have on. Mm. I watched The Princess Diaries 1 and 2 the other day. I really wanted that to be the topic of this
podcast. Oh, I could have been. I definitely could have been talking about Princess Diaries.
Love it. But it, okay. There's this YouTube channel.
Okay.
And it's Bon Appetit. And it's this American cooking show. And it's on YouTube. And it is honestly so addictive. I've watched so much of it.
Claire is a goddess. Sorry. Claire, I love Claire. Yeah.
Is me.
Pretty much. What does Claire do for those who haven't seen Bon Appetit? Like she's
so Claire is a pastry. She's a like dessert chef, pastry chef, and she has a little show within the show called Gourmet Makes, and she makes like it's American, so like American treats, like Pop Tarts and Skittles, and she makes a gourmet version of all of these things. Mm. So instead of using artificial colors, she'll try to use like beetroot powder for red and blah blah blah. Mm. And usually she gets to about day 2, day 3, nothing's working, she has a breakdown. One of the other lovable characters on the test kitchen comes in, they have a chat with her, she gets her shit together and she pulls something off that's amazing. It was really stressful but really good. It's just like wholesome content.
There's a lot of characters too, right? There's a lot of chefs in that kitchen that do their own thing.
Equal parts like the characters on the show and the like the food they make, like it's got a story. It's not just always just like how to cook something.
No, like, it's that's what makes a good cooking show. That's what makes a good program. Yeah. When you have the characters that along with the thing that they're trying to sell makes it a good show. Like Gordon Ramsay's a fantastic chef, not because he's a good chef, but it's because he swears and gets angry at people and that's entertaining. In the same way that Claire is beautiful and humble and amazing, and she's the greatest person that's ever existed in this world. I get you.
Her and Brad, just I love them. I love all of them.
Is Brad the one? Together. Is Brad the one that does the what is he?
He does
what?
It's Alive.
Yeah, It's Alive, and he actually like puts stuff in jars and stuff, and just lets it marinate or something.
He ferments food.
He ferments. That's right. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
He's just like such a like chaotic being. And it's Claire is very like they're just like the opposite, but they're really good friends, so whenever they hang out it's just like chaos and Claire's just like having a meltdown.
It's sort of like Andy from Parks and Recreation with
oh my god, that's exactly who he is.
April, like, from Parks and Recreation.
Oh, it's so good. Anyway, so I've been watching a lot of Bon Appetit, like just anything I can get my hands on, because it's just really wholesome content. And then I love watching YouTube stuff because I don't know, I just find that it's a lot quicker and
easily digestible.
Yeah, my attention span is awful. It is the same as like a 3-year-old, and so if something's not like super super engaging, I'm probably not gonna watch it. So I don't watch a lot of new things, and I just watch the same things over and over. So I've been watching, and this kind of is a meeting of both, because I've been watching a lot of like StarKid musicals. So it's like YouTube, and I've seen them all like a million times.
What is that?
And so it's really nerdy.
No, go on, because that's the one thing. StarKid's musical is the one thing that I didn't recognize from the list that you sent me. What is StarKid musicals?
So StarKid is like a production company. It's like how Darren Criss got famous, basically. It's this group of friends from uni, and they made a Harry Potter musical.
That's what they did. I knew I recognized the name from something. That's what they did, the Harry Potter musical. Sorry if I screamed at the microphone.
And then they sequel and senior year, so there's three of those. And then they've got like Me and My Dick. They've got Twisted, which is like Wicked, except it's about Jafar from Aladdin. And so it's
naturally.
They've got The Guy Who Doesn't Like Musicals, which is a musical, which is quite funny. It's like
The name of the musical, A Guy Who Doesn't Like Musicals.
The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals, and he hates musicals. And then all of a sudden it's like sci-fi horror, everything starts turning into a musical, everyone starts singing, and then they like explode. And because he hates musicals, it's like his worst nightmare. It's not that people are dying. It's literally because people are singing. It's like the one thing me and my brother really bond over is watching these, and we always watch them together and have discourse.
That's cute. You have discourse.
I was obsessed with them in high school. Like these shows, me and my friend. Mm. And it was all we would talk about. It was like our entire personalities.
All right. Main segment time, Michaela. What Woo-hoo. Are we talking about?
We are talking about what it's like to be a coconut. So the first being Pride and Prejudice, and the second being the show we both watched yesterday, Never Have I Ever. Because they have a lot of similarities in that they both really appeal to like westernized Indians.
Nailed it on the head there. I think Never Have I Ever a little bit more than Pride and Prejudice, but they both have their own merits. And special mention to Bend It Like Beckham. I still love that movie, yeah. And it's got the same merits to it. But we'll focus on these two for now. Yeah. I reckon start with Pride and Prejudice. What does Pride and Prejudice mean to you, Michaela?
Oh my God. I watched this movie when it came out, pretty much. I didn't really know anything about being Indian. And watching this, I was kind of like, okay, so this is what, like, you know, this is what India is like, basically. I don't know, I kind of see it with my childish eyes, and watching it recently, I was like, oh my God, like, Mr. Coley says Mr. America Coley. instead of America. And I thought America was a real place in America that, oh, like, no. You know how you have like Little Italy and all that sort of stuff. I thought it was like America was like where all the Indians lived in America. growing up watching it, I like took a lot of what was done in this like parody essentially movie. Well, not parody, but it's the adaptation, I guess, as what America is like and what India is like. And
you took it as gospel, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I love Pride and Prejudice. Like, I've read the book heaps. I've seen so many different adaptations. Like, you've got the 6-hour version with Colin Firth. You've got the 2005 version with Keira Knightley. You've got Pride and Prejudice. You've got, and there's other older versions, obviously, but they don't interest me. And you've got like the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, which is a YouTube series based on the book. So you've got heaps of different adaptations. And so I always knew it was based on Pride and Prejudice. It's very obvious from the name. Mm. But I also took it as what the Pride and Prejudice story is about to a T. And so I think it took me a really long time to realize once I started consuming the other original content, how many creative liberties they take with this. And they do change a lot of the original story.
I don't want to cut you off, but now that you brought it up, what is Pride and Prejudice about, like, in a quick summary for those who don't know, like me, so I know what I'm talking about in the next 10 to 15 minutes.
So, iconic line, it's one of the first lines in the book, is it is a truth universally acknowledged that any single man must be in want of a wife. And so it's basically about this family, Bennett's 5 daughters. There's Jane, who is the oldest, beautiful one. Then you've got Lizzie, who is like the headstrong, sassy, smart one. You've got, now the order here is going to be real dodgy because a lot of my knowledge is still from Pride and Prejudice. You've got Mary, Kitty, and Lydia. Mm. I can never remember which one's the youngest. But a lot of the adaptations that aren't, like, you know, period pieces tend to get rid of a few of the siblings or whatever. So a few of the sisters, like, get merged together in their character traits or just, like, completely cut out. In the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, Kitty is a cat called Kitty instead of being one of the sisters. Mm. It's essentially about them living in society. Their mother is desperate for them to all have good marriages. They're not a very wealthy family. Jane falls in love with this very rich man. Lizzie is kind of expected to be around his best friend, and the best friend, Mr. Darcy, absolute asshole to her. He snubs her. He says that she's tolerable when people are talking about how beautiful she is. He doesn't want to dance with her.
I see the comparisons now. I get it. So that would be Aishwarya Rai's character.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So I totally know where you are. Okay.
Lizzie Bennet versus Lalita Bakshi. So they've tried to use like Indian versions of the names. Then basically the story of them trying to get these matches, but Mr. Darcy is an asshole and Lizzie just is like, screw you, I'm a boss bitch. She falls in love with his arch nemesis. We hate Mr. Darcy until he comes out of nowhere and is just like, they start, I don't know, being friends. And then she finds out that he meddled in her life in all these other ways. He like broke up her sister and his best friend. He then like confesses his love and Lizzie's like, no. Hard pass. And then she finds out about why he has this nemesis and that he actually is a bad dude, and he runs off with the younger sister, Lydia, Lalita, not Lalita, Lucky, in Pride and Prejudice. for all of those following along. And Darcy ends up saving the day by giving him a lot of money and making sure the wedding happens.
Mm.
Yeah, saves the family because he is so rich and was able to bribe this evil dude. I think watching Pride and Prejudice most recently, which was today, spoiler alert, I realized how perfect the story is for an Indian setting. Like, it's so dramatic and it's just like the story is very classic, overdramatic Indian. All the dance scenes work really well. The mother being like overbearing and desperate to like marry off her daughters.
Mm.
It seems like it was written for an Indian context, not a not a white context. It feels perfect, like the perfect combination. Like the obvious combination is to have an Indian Pride and Prejudice.
I think that being said, though, it's a very, very easy to watch film for a lot of different people who haven't experienced Bollywood films either. It's a nice segue into Bollywood films in itself. Like, it's got a great
100%.
It's fantastic. It's got that Bollywood influence in it, with not just the dances, but just how the dialogue works, how the characters work. But it's also got that that impact of it being
Western.
Yeah,
it's in English. Like, it's still very accessible. It was on Stan up until recently. Stan, bruv, what are you doing taking it off? it is a very accessible version of both Pride and Prejudice. If you don't have the brain capacity to sit and concentrate and understand the old English talking, it's hard. It's also like a very, it's like a fun Pride and Prejudice, and it's also a very watered down Bollywood film. And so it's accessible for both. And also, I just love Pride and Prejudice, like, obviously.
I think growing up, when I first saw that was my first real introduction to, I mean, I'm not Indian, but being Sri Lankan, it's very, very, very similar. So seeing that it kind of made me really understand what being South Asian is, and it made me want to be more South Asian. Like, growing up, I went to a white school in Sydney. Predominantly, I was like one of like five brown kids. I think growing up, I flip-flopped a lot. I really wanted to be more like everyone else. I wanted to be white, I wanted to be Aussie, but at the same time, I wanted to be brown and I wanted to be South Asian, but I really wanted just to fit in. So seeing that made me happy to realize it's actually pretty cool to be South Asian. It's cool, like, all this culture, all this color, like, that's not something I see every day. So it made me happy.
Yeah.
Did you feel the same way?
Yeah. Oh yeah, like, being Harvey is like, you're too white for the Indians and you're too Indian for the whites. And so, like, really same thing. Grew up in Wollongong, went to a really white school. Used to get asked why I'm so brown all the time by the white kids. Don't look like my mom. Don't look like my mom. So never really fit in. And then watching Pride and Prejudice, loved it. And then I was kind of embarrassed by liking it, because I was like, well, that makes me like Indian and I don't want to be Indian. And so I like didn't admit to watching it or like loving it. I'd just be like, oh yeah, I've seen that. And then kind of finding out my white friends really enjoyed it too, I was just like, oh, like, okay, it's cool to like this.
which shouldn't be the way it should be. You should be able to enjoy whatever you want. You should be able to express your culture. But growing up, it's hard.
You get it.
I think I'll use that as a segue to talk about another TV show we've been watching that you introduced me last night, and I binged the whole thing because it's actually really, really good. Never Have I Ever.
Yes, it was honestly so good. So I my housemate recommended it to me, and I she was like, oh, disclaimer, it's a bit of like a silly teenager show, but I like stuck with it, and then it was like funny, it was sad, and I was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, I might watch that. And then my old housemate called me and was like, okay, I really need you to watch this show, because I recommended a show to her like a month ago. And then she was like, okay, this is a show that you need to watch. I've got a disclaimer for you. It's about some sad things, but really recommend that you watch this because it's really funny. And for those who don't know, it's about an Indian girl who lives in the US with her mum and her really hot cousin. And
I love her. She's so dumb. Oh, sorry, but go on.
Yeah, Debbie, who is like 16, I want to say.
15, 16, yeah.
Yeah, she's growing up in the US and has a diverse, racially diverse friend group. They call them the UN.
The UN, out of everything they could call them.
Yeah, and it's just about her kind of navigating life in high school. And then you've got like some of the added drama. So her dad died the year before of a heart attack during her concert. And she's still very like not okay with it and just pushes it right down. And she, the dialogue is just so witty and funny. The stuff that all of the characters just say and how quickly they talk. It reminds me of why I love Gilmore Girls is it's very snappy and there's always an answer for everything, which is exactly what I want to be. I was like, oh my gosh. As soon as I started watching it, I think I was one episode in and I was like, I'm Debbie. Like she's the most overdramatic, just everything is the worst or everything is incredible. It's all about her. She's got an answer for everything.
She's very headstrong and doesn't really give a shit kind of vibe. It's good. It's very relatable. I'm into it.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I really relate with this character. Like, this is 100% me. And my friend was like, yeah, that's what I thought too when I was watching it. But I didn't want to be like, you brown, she brown, you are the same.
Which is not. That's not it. That's not it at all.
It's not it. It's just like all of her like flaws, I would argue, are like some of my flaws too. I get told I'm very dramatic and I can live with that, but Debbie is just most over dramatic. Everything that happens is just absolutely the worst thing that could ever happen to her. And she's got a great relationship with her therapist.
I think there's a lot of different characters in that show that really steal the spotlight. Her therapist, she's great. She's just one of those characters that does that exact thing, and she dishes out great advice that's like you could use yourself when you're watching the show.
Yeah, and the therapist, you know, starts off as just like one of the supporting characters. Debbie, like, you know, relays some of her what's going on and how she feels. We see how she reacts, but then her getting to actually express it to the audience again to really reinforce, like, she's a teenager, she is really over dramatic. Like, you see how she reacts when something happens, and then you actually hear her talking about it again. And so you think the therapist is just kind of that, and then in the 9th episode, am I allowed to have spoilers?
Yeah, I'll put a spoiler warning at the start.
Okay. In the 9th episode, I think, or the 8th episode, her friends aren't speaking to her. Her mum's upset with her.
She's gone through a lot. At
this point. I think Ben's upset with her at this point. Everyone's upset with her. She goes to her therapist and her therapist breaks up with her. And you...
Not in a bad way, though.
But it's... I think I really felt for Debbie in that point because it's like, I think if her therapist had said that any earlier on in the show, I would have been like, yeah, she's not listening to you at all. She does not need you. But I think once you see she like has lost so many people, or so many people have just kind of not given up, but have just had enough of her antics, and then just one of her really core pillars that you kind of forget that she is a core pillar. But her therapist is like, I think you need to start trying other methods and we shouldn't see each other anymore. It's just like, why would you do that? Like, this is, how could you just ruin her life like this? Which isn't actually what's happening at all. But obviously, because it's from Debbie's perspective, it's like the world is crashing down.
It's hard not to perceive it that way. It resolves itself and you see the struggles and it's got a somewhat satisfying ending, which I do have a couple problems with. Not from Debbie's perspective, because seeing her go through all these things and then coming out the other end unscathed is great. That's what you want to see. And that's how you know a good show is a good show. Like, they tackle these problems, they tackle these taboo topics, which are not taboo because they're bad or anything, but they're just hard to talk about in a lot of sense. The characters that they did develop really well were her friends. They developed Fabiola and...
Eleanor,
that's it. Yeah, Fabiola, Eleanor, her two best friends. They've like their storylines are fantastic. I love them. And even Ben, I hated Ben at the start. Ben is like the arch nemesis to Debbie's character. He like from a school perspective, but you see his life and you see where he's coming from, and you can see why he acts.
And Andy Samberg narrates his like in a monologue.
The other thing about this show is you do get a narrator. Andy Samberg narrates for one episode, but the majority of the episodes, 9 out of 10, is John McEnroe, the tennis legend, randomly is.
It's incredible. The first episode is such a standout for this. I think it kind of eases off a bit, but the first episode is amazing when Devi decides she's going to be an Indian Kardashian for the day and dress really hot, and he's like, Devi decided she had to serve some Lukes, and just start speaking in that real teenage text talk.
It's like
Luke and Slay, and he says those words as like this old dude who's so out of touch with everything.
And no, he's so not. Don't say that. Like, John McEnroe can say whatever he wants with whatever, however much conviction that he wants to.
Exactly. But like, it's so clear that he has no idea the cultural context of what he's saying. And that's what makes it 20 times better. It's just like this old dude trying to use like teen talk and meme talk and not understand context is just so beautiful and so hilarious.
It frustrated me to see that the whole love interest thing, I thought she was just gonna like not care.
It was obvious they were gonna get together,
which I hate. I really wish they didn't. I'm not gonna say who, just not spoil it or anything, but
yeah.
I think at this point it's a bit late, but I think that she should have just done nothing, gone stuck her hand up to the man and be like, I don't need anyone. I can be myself. I can be my own person. I don't need a love interest to keep me going my life.
Usually no? I would agree with you, but this, like, I'm so like anti-romance, surprise. I hate like when, you know, characters have to fall in love in the end, but I know, I think I really liked his character. So I was really glad that that happened.
We're talking about Ben, by the way. I feel like it's obvious at this point.
Surprise. But kind of obviously going to happen. And I don't know, I think there's no evidence to say that they're in a relationship now. There's no evidence to say the kiss was anything other than like a thank you and appreciation. It was
who does that is that a thing? But you just kiss someone to say thank you for being there for me? What? I want to be in that kind of friendship. I wouldn't mind being thanks like that. My goodness.
You're making me feel gross.
I just think it's unbelievable. And I just don't. I wanted them to be good friends. Okay?
So this leads me to my next point, which is I really don't want a season 2 because I like how it ended. Because if you picked up season 2, I can guarantee the moment after that kiss happened, it would just be like, that was weird. Let's not talk about that. Let's just go back to being friends. Like, that would be the way, I don't know, that I see the story going forward. I don't think the kiss necessarily means they lived happily ever after. They're going to get married. Like, I think it was good because it needed to happen, but it doesn't mean anything.
Thank you so much for coming on, Michaela. There anything?
Thank you for having me.
No, it was great. It was a great chat, and I haven't seen you in a while, so it was nice to catch up with you. But is there anything that you want to plug?
So, I don't know, follow She Rates Dogs. It's a wonderful Instagram account and Twitter account where people send in shitty texts that their exes or random dudes have sent them, and she usually rates them out of negative 10. And it's so awesome. She has a merch store that she sells merch basically on like some of the funnier shitty things people have said. And like proceeds from that go to DV shelters in the US. Like, I know, I just think this Instagram account is awesome, and I tell everyone I know to follow it because it just got some 10 out of 10 content.
She Rates Dogs on Instagram and Twitter, was that right?
Yes. Links also, her name is Michaela, and her name is Michaela, and she spells it the same as me. I think that's why I love her.
Oh my god. She Rates Dogs, Instagram and Twitter. That will be in the description below. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Michaela. And thank you,
thanks
listener.
For having me, bro.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks. Thank you, listener, for listening to another episode of 30 Minutes or Less. See you next week, next Wednesday, or whenever the next episode will be. Bye.
Gotcha.